Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown, a podcast that talks about comic book story arcs. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today, returning, is my friend, Ron.
Hello.
And also with us is my other friend, Nick.
Hey.
There you go. How you guys been?
Not too bad.
Good.
Had an interesting night last night.
So. That's fun. Yeah, we talked about that a minute ago.
Uh-huh.
You had a fun night at work.
Yeah, it was a very interesting night.
Okay, so, Nick, this is your first time.
Yep.
So,
a little virgin.
Yeah. Would you care to regale us with your comic book history?
Well, I don't have a huge comic book history, but what I do have is a lot of eclectic comic book knowledge, usually not very mainstream stuff, mostly stuff like Lock and Key, obviously, and Chew, and when it gets mainstream, it's usually Walking Dead. So
that's fair. I know we're going to cover Walking Dead at some point in time. I want to, especially since I'm caught up on the books, and oh, man, they're awesome. okay, so, and you mentioned Lock and Key, which is exactly what we're going to be doing today. The first volume, which is Lock and Key, Welcome to Lovecraft, is published by IDW in 2008, written by Joe Hill, art by Gabriel Rodriguez, lettering is done by Robbie Robbins, and the color is done by Jay Fotos. I think that's how you say his name. F-O-T-O-S.
Sounds good
to me. Mm-hmm. Quick disclaimer, this is going to be vulgar. This is going to be very explicit. A lot of blood, a lot of vulgarity.
But it's also awesome.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Holy crap, is this amazing. This is also one of those... Now, normally, every book I've covered so far, I haven't read. This is the first one we are covering that I have read multiple times.
Yeah, yep. Well, you kind of have to.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, this series, I was thinking about it, is what got me off of superhero stuff and started me on to indie books. And I've gone down rabbit holes of indie books. Thanks
quite
to Lock and Key.
With the Alice in Wonderland.
Exactly. Ones. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I read this before I read Alice
did.
In Wonderland.
Because you let me borrow this first, and then you let me borrow those. And yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. But all right, well, let's go ahead and get into it. We start out Lock and Key with a door. All right, good job, guys.
yes, there is indeed a door.
No, this is...
Mendocino Valley.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Before... So we're going to be doing some jumping back and forth here. And it starts out with these two teenagers knocking on this door. The one guy is Sam Lesser, and the other guy is Al Grubb. And they're looking for Mr. Locke, their guidance counselor. He made mention at one point about how if they're ever in the area, to look him up. And so they did. But we also see them with a hatchet and a gun, so we automatically know something nefarious is going to happen.
Especially since, you know, the next page over, there's a dead body in the back of the...
Two dead bodies
in the back
of
the truck.
That is his uncle, because he made mention that it's his uncle's pickup truck, and he doesn't mind if they use it. You can see why he doesn't mind if they use it.
Who's the chick, though?
I'm assuming his wife, so it'd be his aunt. And so that's my assumption. But I also know that in a couple pages, they make mention that Sam and Al killed 5 people before they got to them, or total. But so, we flip over to the next page, and we're introduced to our protagonists of the book, Tyler Locke, Kinsey, and... Do you say Bode or Bodie?
Bode.
Okay.
Yeah, like,
yeah, so do I.
Bode well.
So do I. I don't know. anyway, so they're playing around in the little pond river just by the cabin that they're at, that they're vacationing at. And Tyler is basically having a existential crisis. Like, he doesn't want to be...
He's an angsty teen. Let's just face it. He is an angsty teen. He would rather be anywhere other than with his family. He's moping about all the things that he could have done with his summer instead of being at a shitty cabin, remodeling it, basically.
Yeah. We receive Bode. I always read that as Bode. I don't know why. I always did. So we see Bode pop up in the river, basically showing... telling Tyler that this turtle crapped in his hand, and Tyler's just like, whatever, you're dumb. You're my dumb little brother. I don't care about you. I don't care about anything. I don't want to be here. And Kinsey is trying to tell them that we got to go back up and finish helping around the cabin. The very last panel on the one page is Randall Locke, the dad, walking in, seeing Al with a hatchet in hand. He doesn't see Sam with a gun about ready to, you know, knock him out. But then we flip over, and we are in San Francisco now at a funeral service with Tyler standing in front of an urn, so you can only basically assume that it's Mr. Locke that was killed. And he's just having a breakdown of sorts. He's just kind of not communicating. He's sitting there as a... which I can understand. I've gone through a lot of funerals lately, and they're not fun.
Nope. I do notice, like, on the next page, when they're at the funeral, a lot of the people that he was reflecting on previously when he was at the river are showing up at the funeral and speaking with him, and he's having various reactions based on, like, the individuals and stuff.
Yeah, like, so the first guy is his cousin, I believe.
Yeah, I referred to him as a cousin, I believe, in...
Oh, no. The cousin was the second kid. Yeah. This guy might be another cousin. I'm not entirely sure. But he is his...
No, Rod Fess.
Is his surf...
A friend of his or something from school.
Okay.
And then the other one was his cousin, Oren.
Who's got all of these... He's super pasty. He's got a bunch of tattoos. He's the one that mentions that... Sam killed 5 people total, and the minute he says that, Tyler gives him this, like, dirty look of, get the hell out of my face.
Actually, it's more like, I'm gonna, you know, eat your soul. Gonna
fucking kill you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then his Uncle Duncan pops in, and basically says, you know, a couple more hours, everybody's gonna leave, and then we can just try and put the pieces back together. At this time, Tyler starts to remember, because they're back at their house, for the wake. And so he starts to remember a particular memory of his parents being completely drunk and talking about if anything were to ever happen to him, they all would move to Key House in Lovecraft, Massachusetts. And Tyler even says that to Duncan. He's like, you know, so we're going to move to Massachusetts now with you. We're going to live with you now. And Duncan's like, yeah, that's the plan. We jump back to before, and this is the angsty teen, because Tyler is mad that the French class went to Paris for 6 weeks, and Kinsey even asks,
yeah, what does it matter? Spanish.
Yeah, and he makes the comment of, see how I can't catch a break? It's like, dude, this is something you chose prior to starting school. That's your own dumb fault.
But they're walking their way back up to the cabin, and as they just about get to the door... gunfire, basically. They hear, yeah, you know, a gun go
giant
off.
Giant blam.
And then it pieces over to inside with Tyler looking through the window at Sam holding a gun. Had shot his dad. And the dude, what the hell's the Al? And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's buttoning up his pants as he's walking out of a room. There's blood on the wall. There's blood on his hatchet. You know, there's a shoe sitting behind him, so you can only assume what he was doing in there.
Oh, we guarantee we know what he's doing.
Yeah, because it shows us on a couple pages later.
Yep.
But Tyler falls on some paint cans outside, makes some noise, and stuck his foot in a paint can, left prints leading down into the cellar. The Sam follows him.
Well, as they're in the cellar, as Sam starts to follow that, we see that Kinsey and Bode are up on the roof behind the chimney hiding. So they're doing the best they can.
Yeah.
Well, after the scene with them hiding up by the chimney, it shows that Tyler and Duncan are in a car in the present, traveling over to Lovecraft, Massachusetts, which clearly is our main reference to Lovecraftian horror.
Yeah, he pointed out to me, once I said I was rereading this, because I reread it at least once every year, he pointed out to me that he loves the books. And how there's a shit ton of Lovecraft references. Okay, so we also see Tyler being again with the angst.
But at least now he's got, you know, good reason for it.
But he makes mention here, he's like, he asks if everybody at school or everybody in town knows what happens. And Duncan says, well, your dad did grow up here. So yeah, everybody kind of knows. And he's like, great, you know, that's who I am now. You only get to be one thing in high school. The jock, the slut, the smart kid. Hey, I get to be the victim.
What? Yeah, Tyler is definitely a character that constantly broods, and I think it's like a thing that kind of shows he's a character that's constantly in transition, like wanting to like become something else, and, well, and that develops as it goes on.
Yeah, like the whole series, you see the kids growing up,
mm-hmm.
and you see them take on responsibility that they probably shouldn't have to, but they do it in stride. They do it, you know, very well or as best they can. Tyler, I think we've even talked about this. Tyler's probably the one that has grown up the most and matured the most, but he's also knew what was coming down the road.
He's constantly internalizing things all the time. And for a character that they try to say is, or at least convey as not being the most intelligent person, because he's like this large athletic dude.
They try to portray him to be the jock.
Right. But at the same time, he's clearly very intelligent, despite that. Or at least clever, anyway.
Off the subject, before you guys switch to that page. Lovecraft, Massachusetts, where they're staying, the manor is a massive place. We should just get that.
Oh, that thing is huge.
It is.
What is that, like about four or five levels, six levels maybe?
Yeah, and it's probably like an entire
with a basement.
And it would probably be an entire city block, like, you know, in and of itself.
Yeah, because I believe, because so we've got the, well, you're borrowing my regular trade.
And
but
then you've got the,
I've also got the Master Key Edition. Mm-hmm. Nick, you've got the Master Key Edition.
Yep.
There are maps on the front and back cover. So here's Lovecraft Manor, or the Key House Manor.
Yeah.
And their property basically takes up all of
half,
like,
of an
the
island.
South end of the island.
Yeah.
So.
Right. You can almost see, like, it can, you can kind of compare it to other major buildings throughout the city.
Yeah,
and
on this map that,
very
that they
few
show
are as big as the mansion.
I'm assuming,
I mean, there's a church over there.
That's the school right there.
And
there's a church.
And, mm-hmm. and the manor is nearly as big as the school.
Yeah.
As far as, you know,
square footage,
yeah,
probably.
On the base floor.
Yeah, no, it's a huge place. And which make Nina, the mom, she makes mention of, like, look, guys, just go get lost for 10 minutes. We've been in a car for 3 days. Let's just, you guys need some time to bug out and just search, look at things. And Tyler, again, being the angsty teen, just like, I'm just going to go brood over here. But we go back to the past, and we see Sam following the footprints that Tyler left. Which, can I just say, again, I love the series. I don't want to nitpick on it.
No, it's okay, go ahead.
But I need to find nitpicks because I love the series so much. The footprints seem a little close on just having one foot in paint.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
So it should be a little farther apart. Again, that's just,
I mean,
very small nitpicks. But what is, so Sam is following the paint footprints. Tyler is hiding. The minute Sam sees the shoe Tyler left over, because Tyler knew what he was doing, he was trying to keep Kinsey and Bo
I was waiting for it.
Asshole. Safe. That so he basically led Sam
into the cellar so he could get him away from the kids,
yep,
so he could ambush him.
Which he does with the giant brick. Well, Sam sees what's going on, turns around, fires a shot at Tyler, misses, thankfully. Then Tyler
actually, he
lunges,
fires quite a few shots at,
well,
him.
Well, the first one, he, like, Tyler dodges.
Mm-hmm.
And then he lunges for him, shoots three more, and then whacks Sam with a brick.
Which, I mean, dude, as hard as he swung back and hit him with that brick, he shouldn't have been still talking.
He doesn't, though.
No, I mean, like,
oh, from even after the fact?
Yeah.
Because I know we'll see here in a couple pages, he gets a lot of reconstructive surgery done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not to say that, you know, Sam was kind of an ugly-ish looking gentleman to begin with. Surgery didn't help him any. But he ends up firing one more shot, which again misses. Tyler is just taking the brick and just pounding Sam's face in.
Right, I'm actually kind of surprised he actually survived that with the amount of blood that's
agreed
going on.
Agreed.
See, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and he's
and with
he's
the brick
hitting him in the face with the brick.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, if if there was that much blood covering that brick, and a brick, you know, I mean, it weighs, what, 2.5 pounds, 3 pounds, but putting force behind it of a guy Tyler's size, even a kid, you know, I mean, he's, what, 17, 16, something like that?
I'm thinking late 16, early 17. Okay. Like, he could, because this whole series takes place in the year.
And he's obviously a big guy, because he's tall, you know, he's as tall as adults. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and to have him taking a brick and smashing somebody's head in like that, you would cave in somebody's skull and they would die.
Easily.
Especially, I mean, the amount of blood, he'd be hemorrhaging inside of his head, which means, you know, there'd be pressure on his brain. He'd die.
And it'd be totally justified. Self-defense. Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. So he starts to crawl up the entryway into the house from the basement. And his dad is kind of on the trapdoor. So, well, his dad's body is on the trapdoor. So he's got to put a little more oomph into it. And then Al is just standing there waiting for him to pop up. And Tyler's got the gun, starts to pull the trigger, but Al's like, yeah, I counted shots, dipshit.
Shithead.
Oh, whatever.
He calls him a shithead.
They ask where he left his hatchet, and then we turn over the next page and well, we find Nina, out
where he left
it. Nina had the hatchet. But, and she, you know, she gave it back to him, because he did ask nicely. She went through the back of his head to give it to him. So
I do love the bug-eyed look on his face right there when she hits him in the back of the head with the hatchet.
Yeah, no,
it's pretty gruesome.
And we should also comment that she's pretty torn up. Her dress is torn up.
It is pretty evident that
she got raped.
Yeah, it's just, again, that's why I'm going to put the explicit tag on this. We're dealing with heavy topics in this series. Nina tells Tyler to go get Kinsey and Bode and go to the neighbors. And he tries to start to argue, but she's like, no, just go. And we jump back to the present, and Kinsey is coming up to Tyler. Tyler's just looking in this little pool.
Pond, I guess.
Well, it's because it's like a little like wading pool or something that they have. It's not like a pool, but...
Yeah.
I don't really know what... I'm not rich. I don't have a mansion.
It's a garden pool.
There we go. That sounds good. She's trying to keep it together. She asks Tyler how he's keeping it together, and he is sort of keeping it together. Like, he's not really crying or anything like she is, but he's definitely playing it out in his head, because you see his reflection in the water, and you see him, what he's seeing himself as a murderer with this, you know, the gun, the brick in the hand, blood all over himself, and like this evil look on his face.
Right, he's constantly questioning himself
all the time.
I also want to point out that, like, these panels, when they jump back and forth, it almost seems very confusing, obviously, when we're like talking about how they're going from present to past and back and forth.
Well, that's why I made sure they
do it really well in the books.
Right, that's what I was going to point out. Like, you can see in these three panels right here, they just transition from seeing like his father dead to the funeral and then back to the reflecting pool before it goes to the next page.
Yeah, and his stance in all three panels is the same, and he's looking at a different background. Like, he sees his dad in the basement with his eye blown out. We see his at the funeral, his picture, and then see him at the waiting pool with his hat on and just kind of staring off. It's props to Rodriguez on the way he drew. Great art. This is some of the best art I've read, and because of this I've checked out other comics with his art in it, which have been pretty good. So we go back to Kinsey and Tyler asking where Bode is. Kinsey says she hasn't seen him since they got out of the car. Makes mention that it's only been 10 minutes since they've seen him. You know, I think he can manage not to kill himself in 10 minutes.
I think. And then it pans to the next panel where he's climbing up on a stack of books that are stacked in a chair, trying to reach over the mantle of a fireplace to get down some ornamental swords that are hung up.
Mm-hmm. And he's about ready to pull one down. Like, he's got his hand on the hilt. But then he sees something shiny on the top of a door sill.
So he crumbles the tower of books that he's standing on.
Well, he jumps down. The way it shifts, just kind of makes
and
it
then
all fall.
The next panel, he's got the books stacked up and then a stool on top of the books. And then he's using a broom to get down whatever the shiny object was.
Which
turns out to be a key.
Mm-hmm. And this, not an ordinary key. This key has got a skull on it with a...
Is that an Omega symbol on it?
That's what I thought. It was an Ankh. Yeah.
No, I meant on the skull's forehead.
No, that's just skull.
Oh, okay.
He puts the key in the door that it was on top of, which the door handle itself also has a skull on it, with some other interesting symbols on the keyhole itself. I know that I see another skull. That's not another Ankh on that, is that?
Where? I don't
see. It's got the circle with the two triangles underneath.
Possibly. It looks almost like an Ankh, but it almost looked like there was a candle underneath it, like facing upward.
Okay.
I don't know.
I know this stuff is pretty, imagery is pretty prominent in this book. Background imagery, which I know we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we pan over to Sam, who is in a penitentiary. Well, he's in prison. And they're telling him that, curfew is coming up. He's still, like we said earlier, he's still alive, able to talk, which is crazy because he makes mention that there's an echo in his cell. And he goes to the sink, and he asks his reflection. He's like, "Where are you? I did everything you asked. You promised me a new home, a new face." And as we flip the page, we see a face pop up out of the water.
Well, it's actually in the water. It's not Sam's reflection. The reflection in the water is this other face.
That's why I said a face, not his face.
It's not popping out of the water, though. It's literally still in the water. It's a reflection in the water.
Oh, I always thought it popped out of the water.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not very sure. I guess, based on the way it looks with the ripples coming out, whereas I always assumed it was just kind of coming out of the water.
Yeah.
But I can see with the reflection. It makes more sense. Thing.
But he starts to argue with it. He's saying, "This isn't what you promised me. You promised to set me free." And the reflection says, "And I will. I always keep my promises. Soon all doors will be opened. And the door to your cell... The door to your cell will be one of the first." And he asks when. And then we see that he's in the San Labo juvenile detention. Because he's also underage. He's also, 17 or 18?
Not
17. Because 17. If he was 18, he'd be tried as an adult. We are going to go... Then we're going to finish this up here. We go back to Bodhi at the house.
And we go back to who?
Bode. We go back to Bode at the house. God damn y'all. And he opens up the door, and it's the door that leads outside. He's like, "Well, this is odd." Well, he doesn't say anything. He gives that funny look. And he walks through, and as he walks through, his spirit leaves his body. And his body falls down to the ground. And he turns around and...
sees his own
dead body. He starts freaking out. And he rushes back through his ghost form, his spirit form, rushes back through the door into his body. He wakes up, he's like, his look on his face is pure utter shock. And then we end this issue with him slamming the door.
Right.
But yes.
This
is something that I noticed before, but wasn't too prominent. He noticed it this last time reading, and it's shocking, actually.
So, from the get-go, I had noticed... in the very first panel, we have this moth, and I remember seeing this like when I first read the book, but I didn't really take too much notice of what kind of moth it was, and after seeing it again, reading the second time, I noticed it's popping up multiple times throughout especially the very first book,
mm-hmm.
but it's got a skull on the back of its back, basically, mm-hmm. Which immediately brought to mind the moths from Silence of the Lambs, which is the Death's Head moths.
Mm-hmm.
They're very symbolic, almost. And since this book clearly likes to go with lots of symbolic imagery, I felt like it was very important and started keeping an eye open for it and noticed it throughout almost the entire series.
Yeah. Every single arc has got the moth at least in one issue.
Huh.
Which is amazing.
And it seems to always pop up around death. And clearly the very first book was very prominent with lots of death. It has the death door, obviously, that Bode just traveled through. And that's why the moth is right there. He literally landed on his face in this previous last panel.
Yeah. So. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more Lock and Key.